Welcome to democracyonthemove.org, a podcast tribute to the people and organizations who dare to reimagine our nation and drive it toward its true democratic principles. Content for this episode was recorded and released on Sunday, March 28, 2021. I'm Dan Schaefer, your host for today's podcast, and thank you for joining us. Last week in this podcast, I talked about H.R. 1, the For the People Act, which recently passed through the U.S. House of Representatives and is now before the U.S. Senate in the form of SB 1. I also talked about the John Lewis Voting Rights Act. The ability and the right to vote in the U.S. has been a hotly debated topic since our nation's founding. Constitutional amendments and voting rights acts have been used to establish and promote the right of every citizen to vote for well over 150 years. Yet, with all that effort, here we are, it's 2021, and we still struggle as much as ever with voting rights. In this podcast episode, I'd like to focus on the implementation of voting rights. More specifically, the mechanics of ensuring that people can vote and that their votes count. I'll talk about electronic voting versus paper ballots and why, in my opinion, paper ballots are not the panacea being promoted primarily by people on the left. In fact, I believe the focus on paper ballots may be a major distraction, courtesy of the far right, from more urgent underlying issues with voting. I think it's safe to say that voting rights means nothing if people do not have physical access to cast their ballots. Likewise, voting rights means nothing if casted ballots are discarded or miscounted or manipulated. Equally, if voters find themselves turned away at the polls for technical reasons, well, why even bother to vote? Finally, voting rights means little if the method of voting is too restrictive, such as limited polling places or limited polling hours, or the inability to receive food and water while waiting in line to cast a ballot. In other words, whether you're casting your ballot on paper or through the use of an electronic gizmo, if you can't actually get to the point of casting your ballot, then the method of voting is moot. Now, one of the main reasons people push for paper voting is security. It's difficult to argue with a piece of paper that has a voter's choice clearly marked out. But my point is that when it comes to the argument over voting security, a piece of paper plays a very small role. In fact, paper alone does not meet all the needs of security. Now, I know how this sounds. Trust the machine, right? But let me ask you this. When you cast your paper ballot, how do you know it really counted? Can you trace it back and verify that it was scanned correctly? And do you have recourse if you suspect that it was miscounted? Now, on an aggregate level, if there is suspicion, paper ballots can be recounted by a machine or even recounted by hand. But still, individual voters have no recourse. Now, paper ballots can address this issue, but only if enhanced by electronics. For example, once your paper ballot is scanned, its information gets entered into a computer database and becomes part of the total. Now, bear with me because I'm going to run with this idea. After I cast my ballot, I should be able to go online to not only verify that information from the ballot was entered correctly, but I can also see how it contributed to the overall tally. This ability to validate whether my ballot was correctly scanned really minimizes the need for paper. I mean, once it's scanned and entered into the database, it doesn't matter if it came from an actual piece of paper or from some app running on my mobile phone. If it's incorrectly tallied, I have recourse for disputing it. Now I know there's tons of security that must be in place when we don't use paper. The fear is that nefarious actors are going to try and hack into the system and steal votes. But that's possible anyways, isn't it? In the current system, once you cast your paper ballot, it all gets scanned and then goes electronic anyways. The only thing paper does is give a fallback position when everything must be counted by hand, but then, is that even necessary when every single voter can validate the correctness of his or her ballot in the system and see how it affected the overall count? So I'm going to push this idea of having a voting app running on my phone, or maybe through a website. Why? Well, because I feel this voting method solves one huge problem. It is a problem that I believe is much larger than the controversy over paper versus electronic. The problem with voting these days is what I call the conservative funnel. What is the conservative funnel? Well, it's a term I just made up, I admit, but the concept goes like this. If you want to restrict the flow of people casting their ballots, you constrict the neck of the funnel through which they must pass. You do this by minimizing the number of polling places in the neighborhoods of the people you feel are not going to support you. You restrict the voting hours. You restrict the ability to get food and water while people stand in line waiting to get through the funnel. Consider, for example, that the Georgia State Legislature recently passed a voter suppression bill. Ironically, when Georgia Governor Brian Kemp signed this bill into law, he did so under a painting of the Callaway Plantation where more than 100 black people had been enslaved and terrorized. And during this process, State Representative Park Cannon, a black woman, was handcuffed and dragged away merely for knocking on the governor's door as she demanded to witness the signing of this restrictive bill. The symbolism couldn't have been more stark. You get the picture here? Now, if everyone had the ability to vote through their mobile phones, there would be no conservative funnel in the first place. This, I believe, is where the real fight needs to take place. My point is that paper ballots are not the issue here. Access is everything. When people have wide access to voting, and when polling places are a thing of the past, the conservative funnel would also be a relic of the past. It won't be a matter of going to the polls to vote. It won't be a matter of polling hours or whether you're entitled to get refreshments while you wait your turn in line. It will simply be a matter of accessing a polling application, submitting your choices, and, most importantly, verifying that these choices actually counted. This is democracy on the move. My fear is that the controversy over paper ballots is, if you'll pardon the pun, a paper tiger. Its insidious purpose, I believe, is to lure people into a false fight to get them to ignore the real mechanism of voter suppression. Am I dreaming of a utopian future that provides unrestricted access to all voters? I don't think so. I'm old enough to remember Neil Armstrong walking on the moon. And more recently, I've seen how we can put rovers on Mars. Is it too much to ask that we as a nation develop a system of voting that provides everyone the ability to vote? I think not. The challenges are formidable indeed, but not insurmountable. This is still America. We're still pretty good at solving problems. Now, unfortunately, I'm also old enough to remember how our nation was hoodwinked into fighting a number of foreign wars based on thinly transparent lies and rumors from nefarious actors pretending to be politicians. I'm old enough to remember how religious extremism crept into our government over decades to produce a righteous and, dare I say, overtly racist attitude among our most powerful politicians. I've seen how lies and fear and doubt can mobilize a nation. And I've seen how these lies can distract us from the better angels of our nature. And now, I fear, these lies are being used to wage a false controversy over paper ballots while thousands, perhaps millions of people, are robbed of their civic right and duty to select the people that represent us. And I know how to fight these tendencies. It takes patience, it takes persistence, and it takes a continuous dedication to the truth. And most of all, it takes a mindset that doesn't get distracted by false controversies. You've been listening to Democracy on the Move, a tribute to all those people and organizations who dare to reimagine our nation and drive it back to its true democratic principles. Tune in each week where we will feature guests and topics that will keep you in touch with our march toward a more perfect union. If you have any suggestions for stories and/or people you think we should cover at Democracy on the Move, please contact us through our website contact page at democracyonthemove.org/contact or send us an email at info@democracyonthemove.org. You can also comment on our Twitter page at All on the Move. If you find today's podcast interesting and informative, please tell your friends and family about us. And if you'd like to help sponsor the podcast at Democracy on the Move, please contact us through the website or email. I'm Dan Schaefer, your host for today's podcast, and I'd like to thank you for tuning in. It's been my pleasure to be with you today. Please have a safe week ahead, and we hope you'll tune in to our next show.